Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. I'm Miss Paralegal, here to talk to you about a talk show on blogtalkradio.com, The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Tune in each Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific, a full hour and a half of politics and everything that concerns your community. The comments, guests, and actions of this show has nothing to do with blogtalkradio.com or its sponsors. This commercial has been sponsored by The Next Phase with Ice and Friends.
Good evening. Welcome to The Next Phase with Ice and Friends, heard Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 until 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 8 until 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We always like to offer this brief disclaimer in the beginning of the show. Any comments and or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the hosts, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. Our brief description of the show is, this show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in communities can increase their abilities to acquire more income. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests, all of these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format. There will be musical segments, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have any interest in improving situations for our youth, such as STEM and incarceration estimates for minority members of this society or any members for this society, reassessing the significance of spiritual impact, investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include in this introduction, just join us as we seek truth on The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Call us at 347-945-7040. That's 347-945-7040. Or you can email us at blakicz.1@gmail.com. Email at blakicz.1@gmail.com. We highly recommend that you consult professionals in the fields we refer to on this show. The information you hear on this show is meant to be a catalyst to encourage individuals to research topics that they find interesting.
Hey, I want to welcome you to The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. 99 degrees outside here in West Texas. Time right now is 2 past 7, 7:02 p.m. And I'm so happy that you got a chance to join us here, Ms. Lacey. Thank you for joining us in the chat room. What's been going on with you guys for the last past week? Have you been hearing much about the trial down, I believe, in Florida? We'll be taking a look at that. If you haven't had an opportunity to express your views on it, you will have an opportunity to express your views right here on The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. And you can always call us at 347-945-7040, 347-945-7040. Or if you choose, you can contact us by email at blakicz.1@gmail.com, blakicz.1@gmail.com. I want to share something with you first before we get into some of the more meatier aspects of the show tonight. I want to share something with you about your phone. I don't know if you have a smartphone or if you're still using the old phones. Some of the ones that aren't smart are Androids or whatever you might call them. I found this article as I was browsing through Yahoo a few minutes ago. And it speaks about how to protect yourself from phone hackers. You know, if you're into computers and you've been into computers for any period of time, then I'm almost certain that that you have had some encounter with a virus or anything like that, and hopefully that won't spread rapidly into the phone the phone aspect, but if you have had it on your computer, then you know how troublesome it can be. Some of the things that they suggest in here or discuss or approach in here about how to protect your phone. And by the way, this was found on Yahoo WiTech, how to protect yourself from phone hackers by Mike Weiner, Tekka, Today in Tech. And that was about 4 hours ago. Personal security is on everyone's mind these days, and there's likely no single device that holds more of your information than your mobile phone. Today's British tabloid, the News of the World, announced that Sunday's paper would be its last as a result of a lengthy investigation into illegal phone hacking. I don't know if you heard about this, but phone hacking methods employed by its reporters, which is a sad shame. In this case, the hackers used simple techniques to gain access to the inboxes of newsworthy citizens, such as members of the royal family, to a teenage murder victim, in order to search for potential scoops. Would your phone be protected from a potential intrusion? You may not be a hotshot executive or a well-known politician, but should you become the target of an insidious hacking attempt, your mobile device will likely be a top priority. Is your phone and the sensitive information in your voicemail protected from unwanted intruders? Here are a few simple precautions you can take that will go a long way to giving you peace of mind. First thing is change your default passcode. When calling from an outside line, you can check the voice mailbox of most mobile phones simply by pressing zero or the pound key when the recorded greeting begins playing. This means that even if you remain in possession of your phone the entire time, your voicemail could simply potentially be accessed by an anonymous party. When you first set up a new voicemail account, whenever you get a new phone or switch service providers, your voicemail password almost always defaults to a simple set of digits. This code can range from hacker-friendly combinations like 1111 or 1234 or the last four digits of your Social Security number. Whatever the case, this is when your inbox is most vulnerable, as anyone attempting to access your account without your knowledge will certainly try codes like these before all others. The best thing that you can do is to change your code before you even leave the store. When getting your new handset or setting up a new account at a carrier location, make sure that you can take the time to learn how to change your passcode. This is a service that the store associate will be happy to assist you with, as making sure your account is secure makes them look good as well. The second thing you can do is to remember to pick a hard-to-guess code. And what I would suggest, based on my experience, is that when you pick a code, make sure that you write that code down somewhere and you can have access to it, because I have had some very, very good codes, and then I couldn't remember what they were, or either I forgot where I placed the information that provided me with a reminder of that code. So the second thing is pick a hard-to-guess code. When choosing a new code, be as unpredictable as possible. There is no point in changing your combination if you end up picking 888 as the new one. Here's a list of things to avoid when choosing your new passcode. Numbers in sequence, 1, 2, 3, 4. Dates, years, 76, 11, 1989. Repeating numbers, 888, 11, 22. Spelling out words, love equals 56, 83. Our Social Security number, this one should be obvious. The best passwords are ones that hold no significance to you whatsoever, so be as random as possible. Third thing, I think, is to keep your phone locked. Misplacing your phone can be a scary experience indeed. And new smartphones are particularly at risk when they fall into the wrong hands. Built-in voicemail apps allow you to simply touch a new message in order to check it without having to sign in or verify your identity. Because of this, ensuring your phone is always kept locked is more important than ever. All smartphones include some type of locking feature, and most allow you to program complex letters and number combinations to secure your device. As was stated above, randomness in key and locking your phone with the year you graduated college or the name of your firstborn child simply won't cut it. Most non-smartphones will still require you to call in to a voicemail number and provide a passcode before allowing access to the inbox. This makes older phones somewhat more secure in this regard, but locking these devices will provide yet another level of security as well. Call your wireless company. I think this is number four. Call your wireless company. Perhaps you already have a secure passcode and your phone is locked down tighter than Fort Knox. If you assume those precautions make you completely immune to the tricks of phone hackers, you might want to think again. A simple call to your phone carrier could have your voicemail code reset to an easy-to-guess default combination in just minutes. Most carriers require passcodes or other personal information in order to access your account and reset your phone. But this info can be even easier to obtain than your code itself. A quick call to your wireless company will reveal what information is needed to confirm identity, and most will allow you to set additional codes or levels of confirmation that will keep you from being victimized by individuals claiming to have clearance. Number five, I believe, is learn from their mistakes. The techniques used by the journalists at the now-defunct News of the World would have been completely useless if victims had simply taken the time to make their accounts less vulnerable. According to police documentation, default codes and account breaches were the key weak points that allowed hackers to glean information from the inboxes of unsuspecting mobile phone users. The security message detailed above are things you can do right now to protect yourself from the same type of breach and will ensure that your information remains secure at all times. And that's found in Yahoo today, and it's a summation of some things that you can do to protect your cell phone. Especially if you have one of the new types of cell phones, this is some really, really good information, I thought. As a matter of fact, my daughter lost her phone, and she had to go through a similar process. And there is some other information. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks I'll be able to retrieve some of that information that will allow you an opportunity to even make it your phone more secure. So the new type of cell phones, the Droids and so forth, I like the iPhone. My baby girl talked me into getting one, and I'm hooked on it. It's really been a good thing for me. I really appreciate having it. But I try to make it as secure as possible, but I'm old school, so I'm sure I make a lot of mistakes. Hey, I want to welcome Coco Kisses and guest 26995 to the room. Thank you for joining us. And we'll continue on with some of the topics that we have for you this week. And let me select some of the topics. Generally, if you haven't read my bio or you don't have any idea what my show is about, what I do is primarily primarily I address different issues in the community of African Americans. The reason that I do and the issues that I address, if a thoughtful person listened to what I was saying, would realize that a lot of the issues that I'm discussing transcend ethnic or color are cultural barriers, because generally most information that we receive today is it has widespread application. For instance, I was looking at Reverend Al Sharpton today on MSNBC, and he was discussing something about civil rights. I know what it was. It was voter rights. You know, there are some tremendous efforts being put forth by I'm just going to be honest with you, Republican legislators today who feel as though the minority, or the not, I say minority. When I say minority, what I mean is those people who by number are less represented in the citizenry of the United States. And some people kind of get minority confused with being subordinate, and that's not by any means what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that in regard to the total population, our numbers are significantly lower, although there is information that I feel as though is significantly and tremendously beneficial for the greater segment of society, because we've had to resolve issues in many different ways other than those of some of the dominant cultures in the United States of America. And so we've had to be a little bit more observant and less trusting. And we're like, this is one thing I can say where we're to a degree synonymous with Reagan. We trust, but we verify. And that's one of the things I think that I try to do, especially also not only that, I want to address concerns in our community, because we're going through an extremely difficult time financially, socially, as far as the employment of the citizens here in the United States of America right now. We're going through a very difficult time, and we're, as a culture, the African American community are always the most hard hit by matters of economics and social change and so forth and so on. And so our children are a little bit more exposed than a lot of other children are, and that means our relatives are exposed, and therefore anything that we can do to have us have individuals to evaluate some possible to be proactive, I guess, to a degree where we can avoid some of the more seemingly unexpected situations that we could run into. If we can have a little bit of forethought and be a little bit proactive about it, have some discussions, then I think it'll be better for us as a culture, as well as the larger community, United States or national community. But anyway, some of the other things that we had that I had selected tonight to discuss with you, in addition to your phone security, I was talking about the civil rights issue. Civil rights in regard to voting rights. Now, I try to stay on task with that. I veer and vary, and I've listened to myself, and sometimes I get way off. But anyway, talking about civil rights. Civil rights, a lot of people associated them with black, and that's a tool that's real cool. It works real well because it causes people, a lot of people, to disassociate themselves from the idea once that cultural or color thing is introduced, or ethnic thing. It's like, oh, well, it's civil rights for those people. Well, if you look at the people in Wisconsin, and if you look at the people in Florida, if you look at the people in Ohio and Indiana and Michigan right now, they are experiencing what I would say was caused by their ability to disassociate themselves with the ideology of civil rights. And what's happening with a lot of governors and state legislators is that they're trying to make it harder and harder for people of minority or African American ethnic origin to register, and it's going to make it more difficult on a lot of people. For instance, I was listening, and I had looked at this issue a few weeks back, but Reverend Al brought it up today on the show that he was doing on MSNBC, and what he was talking about is that that there's going to be a need for a picture ID, photo ID now in some states. You need to check your state and talk to some of the political individuals, whatever. Personally, I'm a Democrat. I don't mind telling you that straight up. I'm not conservative. I mean, not progressive. I'm not liberal. I'm just a straight-up Democrat. So if you're associated with the Democratic Party or whatever party you're associated with, you might check with some of those individuals who are your affiliates in your local area. And if not, if you will send me, drop me an email at blakicz1@gmail.com. I'll do my best to locate, come up with a means that you can get hooked up with the individuals in your particular state or locality that can provide you with the information necessary, keep you appraised and posted on what some of the requirements and qualifications are going to be necessary in the future. Because these guys, these Republicans have taken over a lot of state legislation. People wanted to experiment with the Republican Party, excuse me for laughing, but, you know, and I don't experiment with them. I don't negotiate with them. I really don't like to converse with Republicans because they really don't provide me any information that is relevant or pertinent, significant, or interesting, you know. So I try to avoid, you know, have as little conversation with Republicans as possible. That's just the way I am. But anyway, if you'll drop me a line at blakicz1@gmail.com and let me know that you're trying to find out in your state or locality what are going to be some of the changes in the rules for your state, then I'll do the best I can to do some research and get you some information that will have you be aware. But as I was beginning to say, photo ID, and it's because a lot of people, as he was stating earlier, Reverend Al Sharpton, don't have the vehicles. They don't have driver license. They don't have a need to get a passport, so they don't have a photo ID or have any reason to have one. And so, you know, it's going to be too late when we wait until the day that we vote to try to get all these things taken care of. So we need to be proactive because this is one of the most important elections, in my opinion, that's going to take place. One of the reasons that I say that is because of policies like this one, which is a lot of people compare it to the poll tax, which was intentionally designed to make it difficult for people of African descent to vote. But see, this is not directed only at people of African descent. It's going to be people who are, they don't have a need for a car, so they don't have any need to travel abroad, so they don't need a passport, or they really don't have a photo ID. So prior to the deadline for voting, we're going to need to have some of those things taken care of. And as I was saying, one of the issues is going to be Supreme Court, because there's, whoever gets elected president of the United States for the next 4 years is without a doubt going to appoint some Supreme Court justices. And if that person, right now there's been a lot of cases, for instance, the case that said a corporation was a person, I think it was a 5-4 decision, and five Republicans and four, well, not Republicans, five Republicans voted that a corporation should be considered as one human being. And that's another story that we'll get into one of these days. Or the one where the ladies were disqualified at Walmart from having a class action lawsuit, 5-4. A couple of justices can make a difference. But in order to do that, you have to have the Democrats reclaim the House of Representatives with a sufficient number that they can get the nominees of the President of the United States, hopefully it'll be President Obama, they can get them out of committee, get them on the floor, and get them voted on and sent to the Senate. And if the Democrats can hold on to the Senate, then they can get them ratified and get them placed on whatever the different arenas are that they need to be placed in. And this is what's been holding up a lot of things is the obstructionist Republicans. The people talk about negotiating with them. I don't care to negotiate with Republicans. My objective is to put them in the minority so far that I don't have to discuss them. I don't have to talk about Boehner and how are we going to talk to Boehner? I don't care. Put him in the minority and get him out of the way. Canner, vote him out. You know, people think, oh, well, it's money. No, it's not money. Money can't buy your vote. Bill Gates is worth $54 billion, excuse me. He's got the same thing I got, one vote. We got several things in common. He's got one vote. I got one vote. He has 24 hours in a day. I have 24 hours in a day. He breathes air. I breathe air. I breathe air. You know what I mean? So a lot of people feel as though, well, you know, it's the vote, the money that makes the vote. No, it's not indeed the money that makes the vote. It's you and your determination and your commitment, your relentless, tenacious pursuit of through rightful and wholesome measures and methods to achieve your objectives. And I by no means recommend that anyone does anything other than what's legal and fair and above board, and that's why I am a Democrat. But anyway, to move on along, and I haven't checked the chat room, phone, so if you have called, don't give up. Just give me a call back here in a few minutes. I'm not on that page right now. I only have one computer. See, that's one of one of my problems that I have, been not very tech savvy. But anyway, we talked about how to protect your phone, and as a matter of fact, I'm trying to find the other topics that I want to discuss. There was a topic about widespread cheating in the Atlanta schools. I don't know if you heard about that, and what kind of an impact it had on our children. And one of the things also was single for a reason that I wanted to talk about. And this is about a lady up in Canada talking about women are single for a reason. And lessons from the crisis that's just occurring currently, as well as the Casey Anthony verdict. And it says something about a jury. Was it a jury? This came from, I can't remember if this is the Huffington Post, a jury of idiots or hapless peers. And, you know, they compared this case with the O.J. Simpson case. And I heard, as a matter of fact, Brother Al Sharpton, I heard on his show that there was a lady that suggested this didn't resemble the O.J. Simpson case. What it more resembled was the John Benet Ramsey case. You remember the little girl in Colorado, I think, that they never found what happened to her or anything like that. So these are some of the issues that we like to talk about here in the next few minutes, 27 past 7 p.m., and that's about 33 before 8. And right now we'll take a look at this issue about the widespread cheating in Atlanta. And while I'm doing that, let me check the chat room and not the chat room, the phone. Yes, no phone calls yet. Oh, one caller. Wow. No, that's me. Anyway, I'm having a good time, as you can tell. Lacey and Coco kisses. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. Now, we'll be right back with more to show here in just a few seconds. We're going to take a brief musical interlude. We'll be right back. thank you for joining us right here on the Next Phase with Ice and Friends. That was music from Tunes, T-U-N-E-S. Tunes, that's what that is. Rock Steady. And 99 degrees outside here in West Texas. 33 minutes right now past 7 p.m., 27 before 8. And you're listening to the Next Phase with Ice and Friends. And I'm trying to, there's a call. I got a call here. Hello, can you hear me?
Oh. Yes, I can. Good evening.
You won't believe it. They got me in. How you doing, Mr. B?
I'm well. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing okay. Glad to hear from you. And I think
Thank
we
you.
Got a lot to talk about right now.
I'm just listening.
Oh, yeah, come on. Don't you have something to tell me?
Well, I'm just
listening.
All right,
do what? You're not going to tell
listening.
Me anything? Okay, I'm just listening. Okay. Let me go ahead and do my... See, I did number one last week. I'm going to do number two right now. Okay, hold on.
SMART Incorporated. Single mothers are really trying. SMART is devoted to humanitarian aid for women and children. Our program will allow women to be housed with their children and or reunite families during the reentry process. Recovery from addictive disorders is a process of transformation. SMART aims to provide each individual with a full range of tools for preventing relapse to addictive disorders and managing the unique challenges of life. In this way, each client's recovery is customized. In addition, the program is designed to address the needs of the Hispanic population. All of our services will be offered in Spanish as well as English. The Spanish program will be tailored to include additional support for educational and community integration. SMART Incorporated, Rabia Ahmed, CEO, P.O. Box 305, Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, zip code 19081, phone 484-905-2027, 484-905-2027, fax 302-761-9019. You can also contact us at smart2change@yahoo.com.
Hello, Ms. Rabia. Are you still here?
Yes, I am. Thank you. That's very nice.
Well,
very nice.
You know we try. You know it. So,
very nice.
Are you going to provide me with any updates or anything like that or what?
You know, I was fortunate enough to, I wasn't prepared to talk, I'm sorry.
Okay, no. I was fortunate enough
to resign from my my regular job.
Congratulations, congratulations.
Thank you.
Best of success. God bless you. Congratulations, best of success.
Thank you. It's been a week now, and, I'm just going out on faith that I have a lot of faith and trust in SMART that I'm able now to devote more time into providing the services to the single women. I like that now that I'm not in the prison, I could talk to them. I could go to the more meetings with them, follow up with them, you know, because I just don't want us to provide different types of service like coping skills, parenting, et cetera, and then just leave them. So what we do now is we stay with them for 2 years.
I
told one girl today, I said, if I have to hold your hand, I have to hold your hand, you know.
Right.
And she said, really? I said, yeah, I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to help you, you know. So I just don't think that, I just think that it's important that we stick with them and just continue the support and not just drop them off and, and you know, just leave them there. So I do like that I'm able to provide more quality care.
Right.
And quality support to the women and children. Yeah, I think it's cool.
Hands-on. You know, there is Did I mention to you about that school, the Katherine Ferguson School, I believe in Detroit?
No.
It was for single unwed mothers.
And, no.
Due to the cuts, you know, that are going on, they closed the school. And what the school actually did was the young ladies that were fortunate enough to be in that school, they had a phenomenal graduation rate. Did you get that?
No.
They had a phenomenal graduation rate, something, and a placement in college. And what they did was they had goats. They milked goats.
Wow.
They raised their own garden.
Good.
And it was real close to being really self sufficient. And unfortunately, see, there is something that I think people don't realize about what's going on, especially people in our community. Right now, there, and not only our community, but we're always going to be the billboard for it. You know, all you have to do, if you want somebody, if you want the society to go against something, just put a person of African descent out there, and society pretty much, they'll jump off a cliff trying to make sure that it fails. And it's really, you know, not in their best interest, but this is a tool that the wealthy have used for years. You know, and so what I'm hoping is happening is that we, as people of African descent, are becoming more comfortable with articulating our position relative to the impact that any adverse behavior geared toward us can have on society itself, because initially unemployment, you know, people, the red state people thought that unemployment was just happening in some of the urban areas, you know, Detroit, and oh boy, oh happy. Well, all of a sudden, it began to happen to them. See, outsourcing, and there was a guy that I worked with, I promise you. When I was 22 years old, so that'd be 37 years ago, and this guy, this when I got into politics, I mean, got into really starting to read and stay abreast of what was going on, and it was during the Nixon era, whenever they had a crisis with the milk producers, and these guys poured their milk out in order to make the prices go up, and they were getting subsidized by the government. And I told this guy, he was always telling me about welfare and affirmative action is how I got my job there with them. I was working for the largest electrical distribution outlet in the state of Texas during that period of time. And if you're not up on what's going on, it'll really have a severe impact on your self-esteem. And once you get your self-esteem impacted, it debilitates you to a point that it begins to inhibit you, and you know what I mean. It causes you to fall back and put you at a severe disadvantage. Well, when that began to happen, and I began to listen to this guy, I started doing some research and reading. And so I told this guy, if you'll watch and pay attention, you'll be able to predict some things that are going to happen. I told him, I said, well, beef prices are getting ready to go up. And, you know, petroleum prices. And this guy told me, he said, I don't care how high it gets, as long as I have the money to feed my family. And that's how dismissive that he was. He could have cared less about, you know, but people don't understand that you may be able to feed your immediate family, but your extended family, your cousins or nieces, nephews, brothers and sisters, children, they'll be adversely impacted. And just because I'm sitting here looking real great, I mean, I have relatives that are suffering. And so by me having been raised by my grandmother, my great-grandmother, and then having been fortunate enough to work, you know, for some of the largest companies in the world, as a matter of fact, as a menial labor, purely. I'm not an executive. I don't have a degree in anything, but I've just been associated over the last 33 years with some of the most phenomenally successful companies in the world. And so I've been on both sides of the dollar bill.
Right.
And whenever you're on both sides of that dollar bill, when I was on that side with my grandmother, when she had a little pinch purse, I don't know if you know that little tiny little black purse.
Oh, yeah.
It opens up and it's got a little money down in it.
We call it the change purse.
Yeah. You know what I
mean? That's what the women used to call the change purse.
You know. And, I mean, you know, they used to tie that money up in a handkerchief. You know what, Rabia? Every time, though, I'd ask them for something, they'd dig in there, pull out the handkerchief and untie it, and she'd have a nickel or she'd have something to give me. And, I mean, I make more money today in probably an hour than my grandmom then made in a probably a month, honestly. Because they ran a little, you know, they ran, and I've talked about it, I guess, to ad infinitum, but they ran a little laundry where they iron clothes, wash clothes. I watched them hang out clothes when it was 100 plus degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched them carry water about 20 yards in buckets to fill up their tubs and washing machines. And I mean, all this when I was growing up, and I've seen them hang out clothes when they were freezing on the line. So I've watched them go through, and people would call people lazy, and I was like, you must not know my grandmother. And then I've gone with my grandmother to clean a person's house and had to get on your hands and knees to use a razor blade to scrape wax off the floor. And I've seen this with my own eyes. Nobody tell me this. You know, so, but, you know, what I think about is that, like I say, I've seen both sides of the dollar bill. We didn't have retirement. How are you going to retire from being a maid and stuff like that? And so there was no you see what I'm getting at?
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, it's easy to be dismissive when you've been exposed to retirement and you've been exposed to, complete employment because, you know, the way it used to be, every Anglo was going to get employed whether we got employed or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then they begin, yeah, but anyway, my point is that what you do is very much appreciated by me, and that's, I'm just giving you the reasons why, is that there are so many young ladies, and by me having a chance to work with NAACP in the 80s, I was president of a chapter in a small town in Texas, and there were a lot of single female head of households that were every ethnic background, and
wow,
the school system intimidated them, you know, because they didn't encourage them to be a part of their children's schooling, and of course the dads, you know, weren't. People don't understand, you know, that when you're in a small town or any town really, but I can tell you from the small town aspect. You your job, your employment is totally at the mercy of local merchants.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see what I'm saying? And
sure,
local merchants have a good old boy system. And it works like this. Well, my brother knew this guy, so therefore his friend, I won't give him a job. And so you as a person of color, often, don't have a chance to get a job, and if you do, you have to keep your mouth closed.
Mm.
Well, fortunately, haven't been in a position where you can't just fire me because you don't like me. I've tried to assume a certain responsibility to bring forth certain issues that other people weren't able to do, and because I felt that was my responsibility.
Right.
But with what you've done, and that's why I just have a kindred spirit with you, because you didn't have to reach out, like, and I'm going to tell this story, and I don't care if you like it or not, but there was, when you were telling me about this lady that was going to be homeless, and you gave her a couple of nights in a motel with her children to transition from being homeless to a shelter. And I thought, man, that's something to come out of your own pocket and knowing that you have a family and all, and still try to give someone a couple nights to transition between them being evicted and going into a homeless shelter. And so I'm in your corner 100% come hell or hot water, and I will be until the last breath I take. So
thank you.
I really appreciate you. No, I just appreciate what you do, and there are a lot of other people who but anyway, you know me, I get to talking and I can talk and talk and talk. So
I appreciate what you do. You know, I appreciate how you you put it out there about not only SMART but the other organizations that are doing things in these different communities, you know, and I know that they must appreciate it. I know I like hearing about it, you know, all the different blogs, and I try to tune into the different ones,
right,
you know, that you mm-hmm. talk about. Mm-hmm.
You know what? The thing of it is that, to me, a lot of people, for instance, griped about Oprah. Oh, Oprah's going off there. And hey, you know what? That created a big vacuum. And there, what we are, all of us individuals, we are a corporation within ourselves. There's a friend
mm-hmm.
of mine, hopefully she'll be on next week, and I hope you come back to be on, and everybody, anybody else, and not just saying that to but I welcome any calls, and you know you're always welcome to come through, and I'm going to hold you as long as I can every time you come through. But, you know, this lady was telling me, she said there was a guy that did a site for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying that, and, you know, she was asking him, well, you know, was it okay for her to tell me about him so that he could do a site? You know, if I needed one, which I do, I'd like to get someone to do a site for me too. But see, people don't understand, in my opinion, excuse me, that they may be unemployed as far as internet engineer or whatever you call them, the site guys, whatever, to make those sites, your internet sites, your www sites, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But with a network, I mean, there's plenty of us guys out here. I mean, I need a site, you know, I could pay a little bit or whatever, and in addition to, you know, and then we could, you know, publicize each other and have each other, you know, get in contact where that we all have an opportunity to network with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
and like I say, what you're doing is you're gonna be training young ladies and young guys to do the same, some similar or the same thing to what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you have? Made any? Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. What did you say? Have I made what?
Have you made any contact with organizations like Big Brother?
Yeah, they have a Big Brother, Big Sister in Philadelphia, but they don't have one in Chester. So we're going to start up one in Chester.
Get out of here.
Yeah, they have a lot of youth. Not a lot. They have about three youth organizations. You know,
mm-hmm.
so we also collaborated with them.
Wow.
You know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is that. You know, that's what it's going to take. And you know, a lot. Like I say, a lot of us. We see adversity. Where I see a lot of adversity, I see some opportunity also. So I don't get completely down, you know. I just look
mm-hmm.
at the, you know, because when I clean off drugs and alcohol by God's grace, whom I choose to call God. A lot of people, you know, we get into all this, that, and the other. I only know what I've been raised with and what I know, and because the 12-step program worked for me, it may
mm-hmm.
not work for everybody, but it worked for me.
Yeah,
and,
it's a good program. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, it was for me. I can promise you that. But there was an old guy, like I said, I've told this story before. He is an old white guy. He had his hand cut off above his wrist on his right-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
Wrinkled, little short guy, probably about 5'4", had Coke bottle glasses, but he had been clean 20 years. He said he would say he was a Skid Row bum. That's what he told me. And he was my sponsor. That's who you go to, and you do your 12-step and your 6-step. You just lay it out there. I'm telling, man, I did this, I did that. Because, you know, you got to let that stuff go. It's like regurgitate, spin it up.
Right.
Because if you don't, it'll stay inside of you and just fester and fester and fester. And but anyway, I never forget, he told me, I was complaining. I've been married twice, and I was complaining about my second wife. I was like, man, she's this and that, and I was just tore up. I was griping. And he said, you know what your problem is? I thought he was going to talk about her, right? I was like, help me talk about her. How bad is she? And he said you're living in the problem and not the solution. And I was like, what? Because all my life, I was 36, I think, 36 years old, and all my life I had been taught that you go from problem to problem. And when that guy told me that, it was like, whew. I was like, from that point on, I go from solution to solution.
Solution, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, and people can, you can get caught up into a paradigm. Oh, man, it's problem after problem, you know, or, you know, and you can go from solution to solution. And it just depends on you know, who you associate with and what kind of conversations that they have, you know.
Absolutely.
Because, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, from that experience, there's several different things that, and I used to tell him I hate going to 12-step meetings. Man, I said, I'm tired of going. I was going to 12-step meetings almost every day and every night.
But it's that reality.
He said, but the concept is, will you go to any length to not use drugs or alcohol? And I'm like, I will go any length. Because see, what
right.
It was actually, and I'm a little bit selfish about that, but it was my job. Either I gave up my drugs and alcohol or I gave up my job. Well, I knew that I couldn't support a family off of drugs and alcohol, so I had to give something up, and I gave up drugs and alcohol, by God's grace. But anyway, and they gave me what they call it, GOD, good orderly direction. And I'm not going to say that every chapter and every individual in every chapter is great, but the ones that I happen to be associated with were some good chapters. And I used to gripe and complain to him, like, man, I'm tired of going to these meetings. I'm tired every time. I said, I'm not getting nothing out of it. He said, well, what are you taking to it? I said, okay. He checkmate again. I mean, he was like, what are you taking to it?
Yeah, he made you look at yourself. That's good.
Exactly.
Because that's what it's about, too, that reflection.
Yeah. And so what happens is that I had to realize that my sobriety came from other people's, you know, other people standing up and saying my name, how my name is, and I'm this, that, or the other, you know. I'm an alcoholic, I'm an addict, whatever. And that's, and you know, another thing happened. It's when I was in, I had to go in a treatment center because it was a requirement of my job that I go into a treatment center for 28 days.
Wow.
And we made meetings. And it was always at the meetings, you get hugs, man. You know, big old burly dudes would hug you. Big burly dudes would look like bikers, Harley bikers. I'd be drawing up my fist, reaching for my knife, like, what's up? You know, these dudes hug you, man, pat you on the back. All right, man, you know, you get 30 days clean, 60, 90 days clean, you know. But it was a support network, and they supported you. And so I thought everybody was like that. And I was like going, I was happy. And I got out and got back into the real world and thinking that people were going to be supporting me and happy that I got out of drugs. It didn't work like that, man, because people, they wanted you to, you know, the people have a they get an equilibrium, and they expect that as long as I'm on top of you and you down below me, then we can get along. But the minute you change that balance and there you don't have all those, you know, aberrant behaviors or whatever it is, deviant, whatever you want to call it, that person is not comfortable with the new relationship, and it's difficult, in my opinion, for them to reestablish. So they have to try to put it back in the balance by condescending on you again so that they can talk down to you. That was difficult for me for a while until I realized that there was a need in that person to be better than me. And so once I realized that they needed to be better than me, then I could accept them and dismiss them. You know, I was like, okay, wow, you need to be better than me, fine. Mm-hmm. You know, it's no need for me to argue with you. Do your thing, Holmes, you know. And but, like I say, a lot of times these young guys will want to go back to church, you know, because they wanted to go back and square up at the church and be like they were when they were teenagers and, you know, younger. And I was like, dude, if I were you, I'd be very careful about going to church. Well, why? You know, well, you know, you got 2-3 weeks clean, and you're going to go up in that church, and all those brothers and sisters that walk around with their God on their lips ain't got God in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna put you back down, try to put you down, and it's going to be difficult. And they will make these guys feel bad about the things that they had done. And so, you know, excuse me. And so these guys would, you know, they rather than come back to the program, a lot of them would feel so down and out that it would cause them to go back to their drug of choice. It would eventually, because they'd probably go back to drinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the expectations change, because when they go to church, they look for a certain thing. That's, you
right.
know, so their expectations change.
Right.
Because they think that church is going to save them.
Right.
You know, so they're looking for this special word, but they're not really ready to change. They have to change first.
Well,
I'm always talking about changing their way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they go to, I see it in the prison when they start going to the churches and when they start going to the mosque inside the prison. You know,
mm-hmm.
you're just going, you know, that's just the surface.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why it's so easy for them when they come out to go right back into their same, you know, criminal behavior, because they just,
mm-hmm.
it's just getting treated on the surface.
Well, you know, though, to me, one of the difficulties when you're talking about incarceration and the reentry aspects of it, to me, you know, a person is, they're incarcerated, and when they get out, I mean, you know, it's not like, see, there's a lot of guys I knew, or some guys that I knew, that cell phones were new to them.
Mm-hmm.
Computers were new to them. I mean, there was the world does, you know, it's like the world just kept spinning while they were locked up. And so then when they get out, their skill set is just not adequate
mm-hmm.
in order for them. And so they get, you know, not only, and like this one guy told me one day, we were in a meeting, and he told me, he said, man, I'm just a convict. I said, dude, don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, that's what society calls you, but you have an internal definition, and that is not just a convict. I said, dude,
mm-hmm.
you got skills, you got talents that you don't even know. And unless someone has the patience and determination and commitment and the care and concern, they want to help coax that out of that guy or that
mm-hmm.
lady. You know, and that's why, you know, I was so proud and happy that Nips and there are some others like Deportes and Lady Blue, some of these other individuals that do poetry and whatnot, because some, you know, people have to realize, to me, in my opinion, that there is that certain creativity that God gave you. I mean, whomever you choose to call your higher power
mm-hmm.
gave you. You know, I've seen, you know, this is really stupid, this is bad, but I'm going to say it. Down here in West Texas, they got trains that come through.
Mm-hmm.
And these cars have this graffiti. Some of this graffiti is, it's some serious stuff. These dudes are bad.
Oh.
I mean, you know, these people are
I
serious.
See
you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. They have them here, too. Mm-hmm.
They are serious artists. And, you know, but see, society, the trick is society, the more, quote-unquote, civilized, you know, that's the civilized people are the ones that went in and killed the Native Americans so they could civilize them, and the ones that went to Africa and took all the diamonds and the gold so they could civilize the savages. Like, sure. You know, but, you know, but the.
Amazing.
But, yeah, yeah. And so, but, and seeing on it, you know, it's a friend of mine, Ms. Lacey, was talking about nature versus nurture, this thing about the Darwin deal, you know, how's it go? Only the strong survive or some stuff like that. You know, there is almost nothing to me natural. I mean, everything that has anything to do with man has to be synthetic. It has to be touched by man's hands. And what people believe to be human nature is nature that was caused by some type of social impact or social influence of some sort. And the ideal would be that the people who were in the position to influence people were intellectually and psychologically and emotionally sound and stable, but often those people weren't, and so they throw things out of balance. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was listening. I went in a room today. I can't remember the lady's room. Doctor somebody, Doctor her, or something like that. I can't remember her name, and I'm sorry, I can't. Huh?
Can I put you on hold for a second?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, please.
I was trying to send you a message through your PM.
No. Go right ahead.
He wasn't looking at it. I got to put you on hold for 1 second.
That's fine. No problem. Go right ahead.
Okay. I'll be right back.
All right. But anyway, and welcome to the next phase of Ice and Friends. I was talking with Sister Rabia Ahmed, the CEO of SMART. And do you know what SMART is? Let me play this for you.
SMART Incorporated. Single mothers are really trying. SMART Incorporated is a nonprofit organization that provides reentry and residential rehabilitation services to people suffering from addictions and co-occurring disorders. Our goal is to help women improve health and wellness, reduce risk of addiction relapse, STDs, and violence. We also help to improve self-sufficiency, build and sustain healthy relationships, and strengthen families. SMART houses women and their children who are reentering from the forensic system or that are in need of addiction treatment. Our purpose, SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying, desires to make a footprint and take leadership in providing services to disadvantaged mothers and children. Temporary shelter as well as other support services will be offered to women with children who are homeless, recovering from addictions, victims of spousal abuse, ex-felons, or otherwise economically disadvantaged. No matter where your past has been, your future is spotless.
And that was information about SMART. And you can contact Ms. Rabia Ahmed if you want to get some more information on her organization. And I'm looking for the information right here. It's SMART, that Single Mothers Are Really Trying, is what that acronym stands for, SMART Incorporated. And that's Rabia Ahmed, RABIA AHMAD. She's CEO. And the contact information is P.O. Box 305, Swarthmore, SWARTH, Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, 19081. Phone number 484-906-2027. That's phone 484-905-2027. And you can give her a send a fax to 302-761-9019. That's 302-761-9019. Or you can drop her an email at smart2change@yahoo.com. smart2change@yahoo.com. And I can't tell you just how appreciative that I am for the job that she does, as well as so many other individuals that I do know. But I was fortunate enough to visited with Ms. Rabia Ahmed for several years on a chat site that we share, and which will remain unnamed. But she's doing a great work, and I'm sure that she would greatly appreciate any assistance that you might be able to offer, because right now, as things are, we're in a tremendous a situation as far as the economy is concerned, and hopefully it'll turn around. She doesn't espouse a particular political bent. As a matter of fact, she is absolutely non-political, whereas I am political, very pro-political. And as you will hear if you listen to me for any length of time. Anyway, 347-945-7040, and that's the next phase with ICE and Friends. You're welcome to call. You can contact me at blakicz.1@gmail.com. We were talking initially about, I was trying to find this other lady. I believe it's, you can go to Blog Talk Radio and look her up at Applewhite Institute. And I had a chance to listen to her show the other day. Applewhite Institute. And it's very informative. She has a series of shows going right now. I got a chance to sit in on number one. I believe she's going to be doing number two. And I was trying to look it up. I had it in my email, but I can't seem to find it in my email right now. But anyway, if you go to Blog Talk Radio, I believe if you type in Applewhite, and I'll keep looking and see if I can't. I'm almost sure that I'll be able to locate the information, a little bit more concise and succinct information about her show. But she is a professor, and I've never had the pleasure to converse with her, but I'm almost sure she's an educator, and she has a wonderful show if you get a chance to listen to it. And she takes topics specifically and addresses those topics and develops them. Sister Navazor, there's my sis. Hey, Sister Navazor, how you doing? She's in the chat room. Love her. Sister Navazor 1, and I'll give you more about her information here in just a little while. But I might as well do it now. I'm going to do that. Give you the information on Sister Navazor. She's one of the first people that I met on Blog Talk Radio, and she is just a lovely lady. Has a beautiful show on Blog Talk Radio. Comes on Sundays. Wow, I'm sorry. Lacey says, I got guests number 30191, 30672, 30684. Welcome, 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 everybody, to the chat room. Thank you for joining us right here on the next phase with Ice and Friends. And Coco Kisses and Lacey's in the chat room. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And let's see what I was going to do. Let me do this while I'm thinking of it, is give you some of the individuals that I know of who have shows on Blog Talk Radio that are very, very interesting shows. And I think it would be they're not only just, you know, they're informative, entertaining, provocative, thought-provoking topics, and you have an opportunity to discuss, you know, not just a couple. You know, if you want to discuss a couple minutes, a couple seconds, whatever, then feel free to do so. And you can give us a call. You can give them a call. They're on at different time intervals. As a matter of fact, there's a brother, Lion X, Lion's Dent. Lion's Den. And he's on, and I think his show is opposite mine, or maybe an hour, I don't know, but LINXSDEN, Lion's Den, I believe I'm right on that. Sister Nalizo, I hope I'm right on that. But anyway, I wanted to talk about Sister Indy DeClaire. Her show is on daily, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday. And she her and you can look her up by typing in, I believe, INDIADECLAIR or IDeClaire, IDECLAIR. She's working on getting her a network and a site and everything up. So you would be, to me, it'd be well worth your while to get a chance to listen to her show. Very, very informative, very well executed show. And Sister Navazor, just NAVAXOR1. She comes on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, Sister Navazor. And that's www.blogtalkradio.com/NAVAXOR1. Sister Navazor. If you come to Blog Talk Radio, you can type her name in the search block and it'll pull up her information. NAVAXOR1, Sister Navazor. Sister Janice Graham, Our Common Ground. And Sister Janice Graham, if I'm not mistaken, her next show may be Friday. And she had one yesterday. I can't remember that. She has a network. And within her network there, I think she has about three or four hosts that are all associated with her network, their network, which is the Truth Network. And they do excellent work providing with information and insight into any number of issues and topics. She had a guy named, I believe, Rodney Anderson on here last week talking about how you can improve your credit score. And so if you get a chance to listen to that archive show, Janice Graham, Our Common Ground. And I know you can catch us Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern or 9 p.m. Central Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. And Janice Graham at OurCommonGround.com for more information on her show. Brother Alpho, HTTP, www.blogtalkradio.com/ALFO, Alpho, 2 p.m. Saturdays. And Brother Alpho's show is called Just Damn, Political Pushback Radio, and it's on the Truth Network. So if you get a chance, check out ALFO. Type it in the search block, and you'll find him right here on Blog Talk Radio. And a lovely lady shooting the breeze with Miss Quiet Storm. Miss Quiet Storm, all one word. And you can find her show, and I haven't had a chance to get in on it in the last few days, the last couple of weeks or so. Saturday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Mountain, and 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Central Standard is 11 a.m., 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, Miss Quiet Storm, MSQUIETSTORM. And she has a site, which is www.missquietstorm.com. And or you can find her on www.blogtalkradio.com/Miss Quiet Storm. And also, let me see. Dr. Reba, I haven't heard from Dr. Reba in a while. She did a book called Your Best Marriage Now, and www.rebahaley.com, Dr. Reba Haley. Ms. Blue, Raspberry Wind, she has Blue Crystal. You can call and get information on Blue Crystal at 641-715-3800, access code 10569. Know Your Magic. And the line is now open to everyone in the universe. She's a life coach and has a very good show also. Love Productions, Love Productions Incorporated, Nikki Love, 9 p.m. today, Thursday, 9 p.m. And I believe that's Central Standard Time. And Nikki Love, Love Productions, great show. Got a chance to sit in with her. And the Poetess, D-P-O-E-T-E-S-S, the Poetess. And the original Poetry After Dark, Fridays and Tuesdays, 10 p.m. Central and 12 a.m. No, 10 p.m. 10 p.m. and 12 a.m. Central Standard Time, 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's The Poets. It's the original Poetry After Dark, Friday and Tuesdays. Check it out. Harlem Talk Radio is a great show. Comes on Thursdays at 2 p.m., Harlem Talk Radio. And you do know that Keith Olbermann moved to Current TV, so I always like to throw that out there. And also some people that I've listened to their show, Boyd and Linda and Lucinda. And if you'll go to Blog Talk Radio and type in the search block Boyd and Lucinda. And anyway, in the meantime, what I'll do is take a look at, I was talking with Sister Rabia earlier, Sister Rabia Ahmed, about the young ladies there in, I can't find it now, in Michigan, the Catherine Ferguson School. And Gusson. Okay. See if I can find that for you right quick. And it's the Catherine Ferguson Academy, school's official closure. Okay. I think that it was going to close, but I don't think that it did. Protesters cheer final hour reprieve of Catherine Ferguson Academy for pregnant and parenting teens. Give you a little bit. Tiffany Baldwin stood in a courtroom earlier this week waiting. And this, let me give you the information on this. This I found. This was the Detroit Free Press, 11:42, June 17th, as a matter of fact, 2011. And a protest of the closing of the Catherine Ferguson Academy, a Detroit school for pregnant teens, became a victory celebration. Actor Danny Glover speaks to Delisha Thomas, 17, with daughter Kendall, listen, as she listens. Danny Glover got involved with this. Can you believe it? That's how important and significant the school was. Pardon my enthusiasm. Tiffany Baldwin stood in a courtroom earlier this week waiting to be arraigned on charges from an April sit-in at her former school, Catherine Ferguson Academy for Pregnant Teens and Teen Parents. On Thursday, the civil disobedience and that of two current students and teachers paid off. After weeks of local and national outcry, Detroit Public Schools announced that Ferguson and two alternative schools that teach expelled students will become part of an existing charter school company. Ferguson will keep its name and current location. Students from the other two schools will be absorbed into current charter schools, and the alternative schools will lose their names. Baldwin, now 19 years old. Henry Ford Community, she's now a 19-year-old Henry Ford Community College student. You know, that is a success story. Was a pregnant mom, pregnant teen mom, and now she's a Henry Ford Community College student. And she's facing a trespassing charge because she feels the school is too important to close. She said, and this is whenever that the significance of your cause far exceeds any adverse circumstances that you feel in regard to standing up for your cause. And she stood up for it in a peaceful and a manner. And I'm just proud for her and the rest of the young ladies there at that school. She said the staff enriched her life and taught her how to take care of her daughter, now 3 years old. Parenting, can you imagine? She said, I learned how to be self-sustainable. I learned how to grow food, said Baldwin, who traveled to South Africa with Ferguson classmates last year. Only half of teen mothers have a high school diploma by age 22, according to the National Women's Law Center. The acclaimed school, once featured in the Oprah magazine, graduates 90% of its students, and all of them are accepted to college. It serves students in grades 7 to 12. Their children remain in the school during the day in child care or a preschool. Ferguson students tend to be an award-winning urban garden, tend to an award-winning urban garden on its campus. There's a horse, rabbits, chickens, and barn powered by windmill and solar panels on the roof. Ferguson was designated a breakthrough high school in 2004, one of just 12 recognized by the National Association of Secondary School Principals for outstanding achievement among schools with high poverty rates. DPS said the that's the Department of, I guess, Public Schools, has an emergency manager, a $327 million deficit, and a deficit elimination action plan that includes closing or chartering half of its existing schools. It is unclear what will happen to DPS teachers from the three alternative schools. All DPS employees, maybe that's the Detroit Public Schools. All DPS employees were laid off as a part of the budgeting process effective July 29th. As a charter school, Ferguson will no longer be part of the DPS, but it will be open to any qualifying student who wants to attend, officials say. Ferguson will become part of the existing Blanche Kelso Bruce, Academy Charter School, run by a Detroit-based company, Evans Solution. Blanche Kelso Bruce. Anyway, the company has operated charter schools for more than a decade at eight Detroit sites, serving students who have been expelled, arrested, abused, or homeless. One site is in a detention center, said Blair Evans, chief administrative officer for Blanche Kelso Bruce Academy. The new charter agreement with DPS means Ferguson's 250 students will have more resources, and the principal, who will remain, will have more authority over the budget and hiring, according to school officials. G. Asenis Andrews, the principal, since Ferguson opened 27 years ago, said she was on the brink of tears all week as she boxed up her office to prepare to leave the school forever. I'm relieved. Excited and pleased, she said. Alternative schools in deal. DPS new agreement with the Blanche Kelso Bruce Academy means students from two other alternative schools will be transferred to the center, to the charter school's existing facilities. This is Barsamian Preparatory Center, an alternative high school, and Hancock's Preparatory Center, an alternative K through eight school. Teach students who have been expelled for up to a year for serious offenses, including assault and bringing a weapon to class. Without an option, their parents would be required to find a private school willing to take the expelled students, or the students would have to stay out of school until the expulsion expired. DPS, I'm assuming that's Detroit Public Schools, plan to close the schools because they are expensive to operate. Ferguson's total cost, including facility operations, is $12,619 per student. Barsamian costs $35,636 per pupil, and Hancock $31,689, according to DPS spokesman Steve Wasco. About 300 students passed through Barsamian last year, and about 117 attended Hancock, according to the staff. So DPS receives about 7,600 per pupil in the state funding. It received an additional estimated $500 million in state and federal grant funds, or $6,800 per student, for its 73,000 students, according to DPS, amended 2010 through 2011 budget. It's a victory. A rally planned at Ferguson for Thursday, the last day of school, turned into a celebration. Actor and activist Danny Glover spoke. A marching band played. It's a victory, said Shanta Driver, attorney for the arrested protesters and organizer with By Any Means Necessary, the group that planned the protest. It's a victory for everyone that stands for social justice. DBS officials also backed down from plans to close two other alternative schools this year. The Day School for Deaf and Moses Field Special Education School for 70 impaired students. So far, decisions have been made to charter five other schools in the fall and close 20 buildings through 2012. One of the affected schools is Carstens Elementary, a high-achieving school in a poor, mostly vacant block on the east side. Threats to close the school last year led to a public outcry and saved it. But enrollment did not rebound this year. The school will relocate to Remus Robinson Academy's building 1.5 miles away and will take the Carstens name. So that's some information about Catherine Ferguson School. Sister Rabia, is that you? Is that you, Sister Rabia? No? Okay. That was some information for you about the Katherine Ferguson School there in Detroit, and proud that they were able to continue their efforts in regard to assisting young single mothers and different individuals who found themselves in some very precarious situations, and I'm grateful that they did, and I'm grateful that they were able to continue the endeavors that they have initiated in regard to assisting their students. Wow, 28 minutes past 8 p.m., 2 before 8:30. That's 32 minutes before 9. And I want to thank you for having joined us tonight. And Sister Rabia, are you there?
Yes.
You made it back. All right. Did you have any closing words?
No, I was just listening.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to listen.
Okay. Well, I got 90, they said 90 seconds, so it won't be long before it'll be 60 seconds. And let me thank Coco Kisses, and let me thank Lacey for being in the chat room. Sister Bill, let me thank you for being on the phone. And let me tell you, I encourage you anytime, and you know any progress that you have there. Any information that you have, please provide us with it, because I'm extremely concerned with what goes on with you. And you know, if I can help out in any way, please give me the opportunity to do so.
You do so.
Wow.
You already do so. Thank you. I just appreciate what you do.
Well, I appreciate what you do a lot more than you can imagine. So, but anyway, with that said, I'm going to get out of here. I want to go back and find a place where I can play me some music. Is that all right? I'm not going to say where. I'm not advertising, so. But let me thank you again.
Thank you very much, though.
God bless. Take care.
You do a lot for the communities.
Oh, no. Hey, we ain't even, you know, this is just, we just messing. Anyway, 347-945-7040, the next phase with Ice and Friends. Thanks for joining us. We'll hopefully see you next Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Ms. Coco Kisses. Thank you, Ms. Lacey. Thank you, Ms. Rabia Ahmed with SMART. God bless you. Take care. We'll hope to see you again next week. Night-night.